KBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. President-elect Trump's new pick for Attorney General Pam Bondi is Florida's former AG and a longtime Trump ally. ABC's Catherine Falder says the decision came fast after former Congressman Matt Gaetz withdrew from consideration due to an ethics probe into sexual misconduct and illicit drug use.
I'm told Bondi was down here at Mar-a-Lago and that the decision was essentially made yesterday morning already. Of course, he waited till the evening to announce it, but I know that some people close to Trump, including those who will also be in senior leadership in the Department of Justice, were advising him to move slow on it, to maybe consider other candidates. That's clearly not what he did here.
Israel today issuing new evacuation orders for civilians in Beirut as it targets Hezbollah. At the same time, there is optimism over talks to finalize a ceasefire deal. Severe storms in Northern California triggering record flooding and landslides on burn-scarred mountains. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.fm. For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Thursday, the Green Bay Packers Foundation awarded grants to over 140 charitable organizations, nonprofits, and school districts in Northeast Wisconsin. Throughout the state, 398 nonprofits received a total of $1.5 million in grants. Chairman of the Green Bay Packers Foundation, Wilson Jones.
For over 100 years, the communities around the state have supported us. So it's a way of honoring that commitment.
To see a list of the recipients in Northeast Wisconsin, visit WGBW.fm. Over a month has passed since farmers in western Wisconsin were forced to give away chickens after a poultry producer went out of business, and now they're struggling to stay afloat. With more, here's Civic Media's Jimmy Cuska.
Fallout continues in western Wisconsin after a Minnesota poultry producer went bankrupt, leaving farmers in three states on the hook for hundreds of thousands of chickens with no money or food to take care of them. Now, barns sit empty and farmers are out of work. Congressman Derek Van Orden criticized the USDA for a lack of accountability and said his office hadn't heard from the agency about $50 million that it gave to the poultry producer a year and a half ago in the form of federal grants. State governments in Minnesota and Iowa stepped in and made farmers euthanize the birds, but here in Wisconsin, no law exists for this type of situation, so some farmers took to giving the chickens away instead. In Trumbull County, that amounted to tens of thousands of free chickens, but also tens of thousands of dollars worth of feed, with no relief coming from either the state or federal government. The poultry barn owners said that they've been in contact with Van Orden and Senator Tammy Baldwin about the situation. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Between Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Iowa, nearly 50 farmers were affected and nearly 2 million chickens were killed or given away. I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News. For news anytime, log on to WGBW.fm.
The Bucks host the Pacers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks take on the Pacers tonight at Fiserv Forum. After a horrible start, the Bucks have won four of their last five, getting more points from Brook Lopez, head coach Doc Rivers.
It's funny, we were talking about Brook today, and I made the comment, you just can't ever lose faith in him because you know he can shoot the ball, and you know eventually it's going to happen. I come into the facility yesterday evening. I'm the only one in there. Brook was the only other guy in there shooting.
It was a really cool thing.
Just watching him shoot over and over and over again.
College football, the Badgers are off to Nebraska to play the Cornhuskers tomorrow, game time at 2:30. Sunday, it's the Packers and the 49ers at Lambeau Field. Tucker Kraft on losing in the playoffs last season to San Francisco.
Yeah, last year was a tough game because we had them beaten so many categories, and then we lose the game. So coming out this week and just trying to maximize every opportunity, that's going to be the main game plan.
That's Packers tight end Tucker Kraft. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, a low in the low 30s. For tomorrow, early clouds give way to partial sunshine in the afternoon and a high in the low 40s. Mostly cloudy and a high in the mid 40s on Sunday. A chance of rain as we look into Monday. It's 46 right now.
It was time to make our own Christmas traditions. For years, we've been trekking to both sets of in-laws, both Christmas dinners. It was just too much. So this year, we started to look for a place to get together in Alexandria, Minnesota. Christmas lights that will light up our kids' faces. A new adventure. Create some wonder. It makes us wonder, why didn't we do this sooner?
Start planning your time together in the Lakes area. Explore your holiday getaway options at explorealex.com.
From the lakeshore to Lake Winnebago.
Door to Fond du Lac counties.
Northeast Wisconsin is special for many different reasons. I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. Family and fun.
Safe communities and friends. We're featuring all of it as part of New Wisco Weekend, a news magazine show just for you, and highlighting what makes the Fox Valley and Green Bay area a great place to live.
Join us.
New Wisco Weekend, Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us on Monday. We'll take a look back at what made news over the weekend and get you ready for Thanksgiving week. Tourist travel tips. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And happy Friday. Welcome to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Happy, happy Friday to us all. We got lots of stuff to get to today. A marginal show since we had a guest cancel, so it's going to be... It's going to be great. It's going to be greatest show ever. Great show. Making shows great again.
Ew.
Is that what we're doing? Teaching religion in the classroom.
Yeah.
I'd like to talk to you about Jesus.
Okay.
Do you have any money you can give me?
No.
You're going to hell.
I don't believe in hell.
Oh, see, I don't either. We got that in common.
We do.
It keeps going. So we had Oklahoma, I believe, we're putting up the Ten Commandments.
Oklahoma is Bible in every classroom. Bible in every classroom. Specifically Trump Bible.
Oh, that was Oklahoma. Okay, Louisiana.
Louisiana is the Ten Commandments.
Okay, yeah. Okay. And now. Texas.
Drum roll, please.
Texas. Texas. Well, they had to get in on the action. According to CNN. I mean, this just blows my mind.
Yeah.
Public schools in Texas now have the option to use a new state-written curriculum infused with Bible stories after the state's school board voted in favor of the material on Friday.
Hey.
A slim majority of the board's members, 8-7, or as Trump would say, a huge mandate.
A huge landslide. Yeah.
8-7 voted to keep the Blue Bonnet learning material on a list of K-5 reading and English language arts material for potential in the 25-26 school year. Voted to keep the Blue Bonnet learning material on a list of K-5. And that seems pretty young.
For the littles.
What?
Yeah.
I mean, that seems pretty young. And public indoctrination. Yeah,
The last time I opened up my Bible, which was yesterday,
see?
I'll say.
Really?
I wouldn't be teaching that to K-5.
When I did attend, I went to a Catholic high school, a public grade school, Catholic high school, and I was relieved of religion class duties because of my insufferable attitude of asking too many questions and saying that doesn't make sense.
I got kicked out of some of my classes for asking too many questions, so I'll put that on the table as well. Right.
So you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I would go to like the masses and things occasionally because it was very social. You know, we'd have this event before ball games or you know those things, and I would occasionally go and it was fine. And you know, I didn't know all the rules and a lot of standing up, sitting down.
So much choreography.
But I would read the Revelations because that was the juicy part.
Man, stuff.
All right, man, that was the stuff. We're gonna teach Revelations to the K-5.
One horse, three horse, four.
If you tell kids that if they don't believe what you're spewing, that they're gonna burn in hell for all eternity, at what point
I don't think that's
does that
good.
Register? But that's what it says, right?
Well, I mean, so I had my own personal journey with religion where I was incredibly turned off by the talk of, like, if you don't do things right, God's going to be real angry with you. Yeah. God's going to punish you. Here are stories of God punishing people.
Right.
It's like, well, that's, I'm not chill with that. I'm not, that doesn't reflect my worldview. That doesn't feel right to me. I don't want to be motivated to pray, motivated to follow traditions out of fear. I want it to be love. I want it to be about, you know, living my life in a way that makes sense to me, in a way that makes me feel more fulfilled, not all this fear crap.
Well, if you can't make them fear, how are you going to make them do what you want? If right. you can't make them do what you want, they're not going to give any money. If they're giving any money,
I'm not on board with that.
Well, come on. You got to make money. It's about Joel Osteen, man. Man, you got to give me some of that Osteen money. Spare the rod, spoil the child. I mean, at what age is that proper to tell a kid? Yeah, we're going to beat the kids.
Well, I remember in one of my seventh grade classrooms for Jewish studies, came into the room one day and we were doing a text study and Rabbi gives us this text and she asks us, do you think it's appropriate to stone to death a rebellious child? Well, we have texts, we have commandments, explicit commandments that say a rebellious child ought to be stoned to death. And now we had a fantastic conversation about it, and it turns out actually Jewish law was developed in such a way that this was not enforceable. This was not something that could ever be done, but it's still a commandment that we have.
That's is your particular text in your belief system are those the words of a God?
So I'm a Reformed Jew.
Okay.
So what that means is that we are in dialogue with our traditions, with our text, and we say that, you know, Torah is a sacred text. That doesn't mean that it's written by God. I believe it was written by humans, multiple humans, over a long span of time and collated about 2 millennia ago, that contains parable and metaphor and stories that help us to understand these universal human truths and things that we struggle with and that we should wrestle with. And we should look at it and see these are things that humans are capable of doing.
Stoning children that talk back.
Right. And we shouldn't do that.
We should not do that.
We should not do that.
Even though it's in the text of the book.
Right.
So up for interpretation, perhaps.
Yeah.
All right. But then do the kids have rights? You know, again, those kinds of things.
In my classroom, always.
Yes. Yeah, you're a great teacher.
Thanks.
Me less so. Now I was in Catholic school. They weren't like, you know, hitting you with the rulers, you know, at that
point. Well, that's good.
Yeah. And we did have,
we had
some nuns, mostly teachers. I think most of the brothers were gone by the time I got there. So I had a limited exposure to it, but I tell you what, I wasn't K through five and it mm-hmm. wasn't in public school
no.
with public tax dollars.
No.
Unless you're from Texas.
Texas.
Critics of the curriculum argue it heavily favors Christianity over other faiths. No.
Shocking.
In Texas? Some have suggested the teachings violate the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment, which states Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. Yeah, I think. Notably, Texas has independent school districts, meaning each district decides what is taught in classrooms. Bluebonnet learning materials will be part of a menu of curriculums available for school districts to use. Yeah, okay, so it's available. It's not mandatory.
Available.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be here.
But is there more to this story?
While they are not required to use the new material, adopting the state-developed open education resource can earn schools $40 per student annually.
An
additional $20 would be provided per student for printing costs.
Oh, so what's the 40 for?
It's
cash incentive.
Paying for indoctrination. I mean, literally.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong. You're telling these kids these things? You're paying for their indoctrination. Because what are you going to tell the kids like my kids who don't believe any of that trash? No offense, anyone, but that's it. I mean, to me, it's all a joke. And you're going to use your tax dollars to indoctrinate children? Well, I guess we don't know exactly what's going to be taught. Maybe only the good parts will be taught.
Oh, you mean they're going to pick out just the Christian parts and leave on the floor the scant offerings of other religions?
Well, yeah. Four Democrats and three Republicans opposed the inclusion of the curriculum during a preliminary vote on Tuesday, including Pam Little, the Republican vice chair of the board, who said the materials are too rigorous for young students. Little voted against the material on Friday as well. So not against the concept of teaching your version of Bible to K through five. It's just that it's too heavy for them.
I mean, yeah, it is. I'll say it. I've said it before. I've said it again. You want a racy, bloodthirsty book? Go to the Bible.
Go to the Bible, yeah. Is there sex and incest in the Bible?
Lots.
Yeah, man. Stacy Childs, a member of the board who voted against Bluebonnet, told CNN Friday that although the curriculum is optional, she expects most districts will adopt it given the huge financial implications of the incentive. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not only are they going to, like, put it out there as a menu item. They're going to incentivize you. Hey, if you teach the Bible stuff, we'll give an extra $60 a kid. What? What? Is that how we're doing it? I mean, really? Wow. I think education is certainly messed up in this country. I represent the most diverse place in Texas. Oh, here's, I'm sorry. I digress. Stacy Childs, a member of the board who voted against it, says she expects the curriculum will be challenged tremendously in court. Yeah, you think so? I think so.
I hope so.
Tremendously. It's like you're going to get a vigorous spanking with that one. Oh, I represent the most diverse. Don't forget about vigorous spankings. Come on.
Oh, God, it's coming in January.
I represent the most diverse place in Texas. Childs, whose district includes Houston, said, I represent Muslims, people of the Sikh faith, right? People that don't even have a faith. Check, please. That are agnostic. These people should see themselves reflected in the material just as much as a Christian. The approval of the optional curriculum drew immediate backlash from the ACLU of Texas. Go ACLU of Texas. Their quote, the Blue Bonnet curriculum flagrantly disregards religious freedom, a cornerstone of our nation since its founding. The same politicians censoring what students can read now want to impose state-sponsored religion into our public schools. We urge districts to reject this optional curriculum and uphold a public school education that honors the religious diversity and constitutional rights of Texas students. Amen, brother. In another indication of potential legal challenges, the advocacy group Americans United for Separation of Church and State said their attorneys are standing by and ready to defend their religious freedom. Texas' new Bible and Fields elementary curriculum, elementary, is part of a nationwide effort by Christian nationalists to impose their religious beliefs on public school students, said Rachel Laser, the organization's president CEO. Families, not politicians or public school officials, should decide if, when, and how their children engage with religion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that seems very logical to me. I can't imagine. And we'll see. This current makeup of this U.S. Supreme Court, which obviously just overturned Roe v. Wade with the Dobbs decision, have really been pushing the envelope on other cases that have been handled and accepted for years. Maybe they wanted to get a trial balloon up for this. So maybe it'll be this Texas case. Maybe it'll be something in Oklahoma. Maybe it'll be something in Louisiana. But you can't. I don't think this is logical or practical or fair or constitutional. And if you're going to start teaching one, how do you not teach them all? If you teach them all, where do you stop? 855-752-4842. Coming back with more of your calls.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Maggie Dawn Show.
Trying to find a place to stay in Green Bay for the big draft? Go to SimpleLifeRentals.com. Vacation rentals made simple. Our dedicated team of local experts have a passion for hospitality, creating seamless guest experiences for guests. Experience the NFL draft in a vacation home instead of a hotel room. With seamless check-in and check-out procedures and round-the-clock dedicated support, you'll enjoy the convenience of instant online booking at SimpleLifeRentals.com, guaranteeing you a stress-free start to your vacation. SimpleLifeRentals.com.
Get the family out of the house this holiday season and book a private event with us at Heights Pub and Parlor, located at 217 North Washington Street in downtown Green Bay. We provide an unmatched atmosphere where you can soak in the modern elegance of history. With seating for 32 and space for up to 100 guests, let our second floor parlor and third story loft treat you to top-notch service from a personal bartender and hand-picked food selections from our kitchen. 2024 dates are booking out fast, so secure yours now. Like and follow us on Facebook or check us out at heightsgb.com to discover more.
It's the sound of a soda, considered one of the coolest things made in Wisconsin. Jolly Good has been around since the 1960s. Cryer Foods makes it in Random Lake, which is in Sheboygan County. But Cryer started as a canning company in 1913. What was being canned there? Sauerkraut? Peas? Beets? The answer coming up.
At Jolly Good, we believe in quality.
Soda turned into an important revenue stream when production at the canning company slowed in the colder months. So what was being canned there? Sauerkraut, peas, beets? All three, plus juice, soups, and more. By the 1960s, Cryer quit canning and went all in on Jolly Good soda.
For flavor and value, Jolly Good's got it.
The latest resurgence of Jolly Good makes it a slice of Wisconsin for yesterday and today. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Hey, welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Happy, happy Friday to us all. Keeping it light on a Friday, talking about Jesus, talking about religion in schools, talking about Texas, along with Louisiana and Oklahoma. Well, Oklahoma is like 48th in the country education. Not doing great, but...
Not ideal.
They're praying for a turnaround. Wonder if that's going to help. You know, instead of like teaching the kids, why don't you just pray for it, see if they'll... You know, I used to like travel with my textbooks all the time, thinking like I would like somehow be.
Did you also do the, you know, stick it under your pillow
and just absorb it? Right. Yeah. No, that didn't happen. But I always had them there just in case.
Just in
case. I was going to study. That didn't happen.
No.
Some of the controversial curriculum being offered here in Texas. So we'll get to your calls as well. 855-752-4842. Keep it light. Tell me what you think. I'm very curious on what people think on this. Under the curriculum in Texas, a kindergarten lesson about the Golden Rule would prompt instructors to teach students about Jesus' Sermon on the Mount from the Bible's New Testament. The teacher guide for the lesson also mentions Islam, Judaism, Hinduism, and other faiths. Another kindergarten unit about art appreciation would primarily focus on the Bible's Book of Genesis and the artworks inspired by it. A first grade unit on sharing stories would teach the parable of the prodigal son from the New Testament. I had to look that up.
Yeah. What'd you learn?
I learned something today, folks. Well, I mean, I always, it's there somewhere. A lot of resin covered it up. But according to my Google AI, it's a well-known story, a well-known Bible story, well, to most, not to this guy, about a son who asks his father for his inheritance, squanders it, and then returns to his father asking for forgiveness. You know, I mean... Inheritance? Wow, how very privileged of you. What would you guys get an inheritance? No, buddy? Hey, can I get an advance on that pie? I'll go hang out with Matt Gaetz in Florida. A third grade unit on ancient Rome would feature a section dedicated to the life of Jesus and Christianity in the Roman Empire. Wouldn't they were getting like eaten by lions and stuff back then? I mean, I don't think the Roman Empire was great to Christianity.
Not up until Constantine.
A lot of lions fodder.
There was indeed a fair bit of that.
Oh, that's right. Then someone converted, right?
Yeah, that's around right. 300.
Yeah, yeah. See, that's history.
Mm-hmm.
And a poetry unit for fifth graders that include a psalm from the Old Testament taught alongside poems from Robert Frost and William Carlos Williams. No other texts from religious books would be included in the unit. No, no other psalms or comments or texts or anything else from anybody else. The golden rule. Let's think about that for a minute.
Let's talk about it, because that's an interesting one.
How do you define the golden rule, Jess?
Okay, so in Judaism, the version of the golden rule is there is a short story about a great rabbi named Hillel, and a man comes to him and poses this challenge to him. Teach me all of Torah while I'm standing on one foot. And Hillel says, that which is hateful to you, do not do unto others. That is all. Everything else is commentary.
Hmm.
So it's something that comes up in every major religion, that there is some version of the things that you don't like, don't do it to other people. The things that you like, you know, maybe do that to other people. This sense of, you know, treat people how you want to be treated. So in my mind, this comes down to teach it as a universal human truth. You can teach how it's appeared in all of these different cultures. And that's reflective of the fact that this is what it means to be human. This is
right. This it's a human trait. It's a human thing. Yes.
Yeah.
Now, it's not. Do you believe it's based in religious or moral?
No, no. I think it's who humans are and who humans have the capacity to be is a caring, empathetic species.
Well, we can be We can be.
Doesn't mean that we always yeah. are, but we can be.
I saw this one, the practice of a Wicca. If it harm none, do what ye will.
Yeah.
I'm very pirate of me. and that's fine. I totally appreciate that. And it makes absolute sense. I look at this from a practical. Look, we cut, we bleed. You know, pain, pain hurts, right? There's a reason. I stay away from things that hurt. Unless you're one of those that into it, you know, that ain't me. But most people aren't into that. You shy away from those things that make you that they're challenging or in a detrimental way, not in a psychological way. I mean, certainly mentally, I think you got to put yourself out there. You always test your boundaries in that regard. But yeah, I mean, generally, if it hurts you, it's going to hurt somebody else. If that bothers you, why would you do that to anybody else? Now, those that would do that, I would consider hypocrisy. They're hypocrites, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, God, I don't want that happening to me, but I'm going to go do that to you.
Right.
But I think hypocrisy only matters if there's any sort of shame.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think people necessarily have shame, even though they'll claim to be righteous Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, name your religion. Let's see what else we got from. So the parable of the prodigal son going, spend all the money coming back. Inheritance.
You said that one resonated with you.
a little bit. I had money once and I spent it all. I had nowhere to go back to, though. Let's see. A little bit more from the CNN. The Texas Education Agency said the lessons were developed using the best evidence from cognitive science to ensure teachers have access to quality on grade level materials that enable teachers to focus on delivering the highest quality instruction and providing differentiated supports to students. On Monday, more than 100 people testified for and against the materials before the Texas School Board for more than 7 hours.
Oh boy.
Mark Chancey, a professor of religious studies at Southern Methodist University and a Sunday school teacher, described the teachings as fundamentally fraud, and they make numerous claims that are erroneous, made up, or just plain strange. Ooh, Mr. Chancey, we have some sound of the professor of religious studies at Southern Methodist University. He is not down for this. Are you down for this? Are you ready for this to come to a grade school near you? Get the kindergartens all worked up about eternal hell? I can't wait. You're going to have nightmares forever, man. 855-752-4842. No, I mean, I'm serious. Like, I watched some of these movies, Rosemary's Baby, when I was a kid. That's not a movie. The 70s were weird, man. 855-752-4842.
From De Pere to Suamico, 97.9 WGBW. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Wisconsin's 9-day gun deer season opens tomorrow. Here's Derek Tritz.
This year, hunters have some advantages, according to State Deer Program Specialist Jeff Pritzel.
The mild winter that we experienced last year, and what that means to the deer herd, you know, this year is higher fawn productivity, higher fawn survival from the previous year. And so that means, more deer on the landscape to a certain degree. And also as it relates to bucks, their antler development will be a little bit better this year because they came out of the winter in such good physical shape. That means they can devote a little bit more energy to antler development. So we should see above average antler development. That'll be nice to see.
As per usual, hunters should be on the lookout for chronic wasting disease, or CWD for short. With more information, here's DNR herd health specialist Aaron Larson.
So CWD sampling is still available statewide. Anywhere that a hunter harvests a deer in the state, they can get it submitted for CWD sampling for free. However, we do have priority areas this fall that we are especially interested in receiving samples from. So these are around newer detections of wild or farm-raised captive positive detections that are in portions of central and northern Wisconsin.
Hunters should also be on the lookout for elk, as elk populations in Wisconsin have increased. It isn't uncommon for elk to be misidentified as white-tailed deer during the season, but the DNR wants to keep the elk population intact. Safety is always a priority during hunting season, and last year there were no fatalities. Still, hunters should remember gun safety fundamentals and to wear their blaze orange. Additional hunter safety information can be found on the Wisconsin DNR's website.
I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News. For news anytime, log on to WGBW.fm.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. If the Academy Awards have any meaning at all, they will nominate Denis Villeneuve for Best Director for Dune 2. Those are the words of actor Josh Brolin, who seems serious, adding he might quit acting altogether if his friend is not nominated for Best Director. Yeah, me too. The first Dune received 10 Oscar nominations in 2022, but not for Best Director, which obviously does not sit well with the No Country for Old Men actor. Thespians do tend to be a bit dramatic, but I hope Brolin doesn't quit acting. He's pretty good at it. Those of you who are shower indifferent, love camping in mud, and would like a shot at a serious injury might be interested to know that headliners for 2025's Coachella have been announced. Lady Gaga, Green Day, Post Malone, and Travis Scott will perform, and there will be an appearance by Yo Gabba Gabba. Can't hardly wait to not attend. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, a low in the low 30s. For tomorrow, early clouds give way to partial sunshine in the afternoon and a high in the low 40s. Mostly cloudy and a high in the mid 40s on Sunday. A chance of rain as we look into Monday. It's 46 right now.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Iron Mike Tyson and Jake Paul, the YouTuber. They're likely, this is just me wildly speculating, might have been a wee bit of a gentleman's agreement. Try to make it look good, but nobody's actually going to try to knock anybody out.
I actually put a bet on that, and I bet it for Jake Paul to win, just because I knew it was staged. Mike Tyson was going to do what he's going to do. Clearly obvious he could have knocked him out. He just didn't want to do it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
On the next New Wisco Weekend, what makes you feel thankful? I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. Good experiences and positive emotions. Gratitude is good for you.
Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS.
Coming.
Welcome back to the Dom Selvey Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, Texas. Trying to get on the bandwagon, going to offer some religious studies, well, mostly Christian. I might mention a few other things, but you won't matter. If you're not Christian, they'll give you some lip service, perhaps.
A couple crumbs.
You know, a little bit here and there. You can't, you know, because all the good religions are Christian. No, I mean, no. Okay, we'll talk about the Crusades in a little while too. We have to. We're getting this religious conversation because now we've got this Pentagon guy, Pete Hegseth. He's got all sorts of tattoos. I got tattoos. All right, but some of them are questionable. But we'll get to that.
Yours?
None of mine. You know, my grandfather, my mother's side, had a naked woman on his arm.
Of course he
and
did.
And an eagle across his chest. And I was like, that was just the weirdest thing growing up. Like, all your friends' dads have tattoos back? Because he was a rough truck driver, bowler, smoker, drinker guy.
Yeah.
He was amazing. But yeah, it was interesting. Who are we talking about here? Chancey, Mark Chancey, a professor of religious studies at Southern Methodist University. He is against this effort in Texas to teach religion to K through 5, which is, to my math, 5-year-old through 10-year-old. About that.
Yeah.
We'll go like, yeah. I mean, nothing like laying it on heavy when you're young. You know, here, you know, follow the lines. Remember, you have to draw and they have the little dotted line. You can do your A's and your cursive and do that. Yep.
I wasn't very good at that.
No. And then here's Hellfire. Okay. Right. Have a good night. No nightmares at all. Oh, my God. And Eve, growing up, like I mentioned before the break, when I was a kid, I watched Rosemary's Baby, which was strange. And this was like, it was supposed to be a classic film. I mean, this is a great movie. Okay, but it's kind of twisted when you're 6.
Mm-hmm.
What was the Omen? I recently watched the original Omen again recently. Also, I mean, still holds up pretty good. But again, when you're that young, those things kind of stick with you. But here's the thing. It's fake. It's fantasy. It's fiction.
Mm-hmm.
It's fiction. That's not going to happen. That's never happened. It's not going to happen. All the miracles and all the things. I mean, I don't know what people think about miracles, but has anyone ever grown a pinky back? Would that be a miracle? I think it would be. Yeah. I don't know. People don't grow limbs back. It's just a thing.
Unless they're starfish.
Oh, a miracle.
Yeah.
Or a science. There's an explanation for it.
Right.
Generally. And the scientific method. We use that. And
we do.
It's wrong a lot because it's a scientific method.
All right.
You keep on going. You keep learning.
You ask questions. You dig into it. You experiment.
No. The Earth is the center of the universe.
Sure. And it's flat, too.
And if you go against that, you know, heliocentric, geocentric, right? Didn't one of the popes put one of the scientists in jail because they didn't go along with the church's thought on heliocentric versus geocentric existence? Yeah. No, that's problematic, right?
A little, yeah. I mean,
it's amazing how much we actually, you know, advanced as a society when we stopped murdering all the scientists. When religion stopped murdering all the scientists.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Chancey, professor of religious studies at Southern Methodist University and a Sunday school teacher, said described the teachings as fundamentally flawed. Let's hear what he had to say, Jess.
Many of these lessons that talk about religion handled the subject matter in a very inappropriate way. And that's unfortunate because public schools need to teach about religion. Religious literacy is an important part of cultural literacy, and students need to know about religion to function in a religiously diverse democracy. And that's why these lessons are really a missed opportunity, because they very strongly privilege Christianity over every other tradition. There are more lessons about Christianity than any other tradition. There are more lessons about the Christian Bible than about any other religious text. There are more lessons about Jesus than about any other religious figure. And when these lessons tell Bible stories, they often do it in a very literalistic fashion that I think will have the effect of promoting religious claims to our state's youngest children. Now, we're talking about teaching Bible stories to five-year-olds who are very likely to take those stories literally in ways that perhaps their families don't. These are religiously diverse students. So my question is why the state of Texas wants to teach Bible stories to the young, impressionable children of other people's families.
Well, because if you don't start young, you can't really indoctrinate them too well, can you? I know it's a pretty dark position to take, but that's why,
That's why you get them
when they're young. I mean, these are the people that literally talk
about... soft, squishy, moldable brains.
Yeah, they talk about, oh, when we're too young to start talking about teaching sex.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's teach them Bible.
So let's teach them Bible. Well, you know what I'm saying? I mean, and sex is actually very practical. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
The Bibles are, and to my opinion, they're fictional stories. I do struggle with this one. The cultural awareness, religious awareness. We live in a multicultural, yada yada yada, and multi-religion, yada yada yada. I take the position that once I've dismissed it all as fiction and hoo-ha and BS, that I don't feel like I need to learn the intricacies and minute details of fiction. You know, I get it. It's nice conversation. You know, you don't meet I ask you things. I don't know. Because I dismiss it. It doesn't matter to me because I don't believe any of it. Now, I get it as a cultural thing, as a religious thing, those that are involved in it. Yeah, okay. But what I also don't see is a lot of those who are involved in it really wondering, hey, Dominic, as an atheist, what do you believe? You know, when everyone says, oh, praise Jesus, I don't stand up and say praise Jesus. I just keep my mouth shut because I don't believe in any of that. Do I have to start being actively atheist? Someone says, praise Jesus. Oh, there is no Jesus. Well, that's terrible. How do you say something like that? Well, aren't you being now disrespectful to my religion and my beliefs? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's easy for me to just keep my mouth shut, generally speaking, on these issues, because I got lots of religious family members.
Is it so easy for you to keep your mouth shut?
I demur, you know, because listen, I have family and friends that are very religious and very sweet and joyous, wonderful people. That's not a knock on them. And of course, there's those that would hide behind their religion and just like to do their patriotism to pick your pocket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's organizations like the Catholic Church that was materially, I mean, come on, raping kids. It was a big kid rape party. And then you see all the lawyers and those that would defend that here in Milwaukee, even. I mean, all the dioceses around the country. Come on, man. So there, are you going to start teaching that? Let's do that. When are we going to start teaching the raping of the children by the Catholic diocese?
See, so here's my
how old do we
got to
be for that
of this?
Yeah,
religions generally have had enormous impact on human cultures.
Sure.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about the roles the different religions have played. Let's talk about how a lot of people do experience God. A lot of people experience something greater than themselves that they name God. A lot of people experience faith. They experience this belief in something that they can't see. It gives their life meaning. Let's talk about it and recognize that your ability to control what anyone else practices is non-existent outside of potentially your own family. That you can talk about it, sure. But don't be pushing it.
Yes, right.
Push. Treat each other with respect. That which is hateful to you, do not do to someone else.
855-752-4842. You know, I guarantee you, a couple thousand years ago, someone was so believing and religious and faithful to the god Mars and died defending a temple somewhere for the god Mars. And
now we
look at that as, well, that's just mythology and it's totally ridiculous and who could possibly do that? But then we worship these other things. If someone were to worship Mars or any Roman gods or Greek gods or pick your gods as a real thing, is that someone that I need to be respectful of and take take their faith?
I don't think you need to make fun of them.
Yeah,
but like, if they're not,
come
out,
on, man, if someone's worshiping, sacrificing
a goat in the middle of the street, does it impact your life?
Generally not. Unless they're trying to force worship of the Mars god on me. Generally speaking, but I'm just saying that there's at some point I think for every person there's a limit. You know, and I think there's a lot of really faithful people that dismiss all their religions. I think there's some of the folks that are very inclusive. And you know, again, it depends on the person and the religion and all that. And it is very complex and it's varied and it is historical. And I think it's generally for the worse for humanity. But I think absolutely we should discuss it. What about like Jonestown? Drink the Kool-Aid.
Drink the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, don't drink the Kool-Aid. Why do they say that, Mom and Dad? Well, wait till third grade. You're gonna learn about that. You know, when do we teach? When do we teach the limitations, the terrible part of what humans do to each other in the name of religion? Talk about the Crusades. Let's talk about the Crusades Pete Hegseth. The Foxy guy who was the reality TV guy as well, I believe, also served in the military, has lots and lots of tattoos, has a We the People. I got a We the People. Mm-hmm. I love tattoos. I actually do for one. I'm jonesing.
Me too.
And he has what was called a Jerusalem cross on his chest. And it's also known as the Crusader's cross. It's really not a cross in like the traditional, you know, Catholic Christian sense of the cross. Mm-hmm. It's more of a plus sign.
Right, the sort of flared
at the end.
The points.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And this guy, Pete Hegseth, also has a tattoo. What is it? Deus Vult.
Yeah.
Deus Vult. God wills it. Apparently, it's relating to divine intervention. Divine providence. I can't read my writing. Divine providence. I'm like... What's divine providence? What are people even talking about? And if a guy's got a tattoo that is became popular during the Crusades when the Catholics or the Christians were trying to take over the Holy Land, I guess they're going to Jerusalem and trying to kill all the Muslims.
Well,
yeah, I mean, you know, it was the Crusades. And then also that there is divine intervention, and this guy is going to be in charge of the Pentagon, which would, I don't know, maybe back in the day would have been sending those folks to Jerusalem for those Crusades. There's someone making that decision. And this guy apparently has those markings, has those tattoos. And I find that, I don't know, a little problematic.
Just a little?
I mean, were the Crusades, I mean, was this a good thing? When do the fourth graders get to learn about the Crusades?
Second semester.
Awesome.
You got to warm them up.
You know
a
what
little.
I mean? This is what I'm saying. I did some quick Googling, like 1.7 million people are estimated to have died during the Crusades. Apparently the Muslims won. And Hegseth has a mark, the Crusader's cross. And I don't know that I want someone who's going to want to go or a support going to take over the quote unquote Holy Land.
Mm-hmm.
It seems extreme to me, especially in a country where, you know, as much as the Christian right wing nationals want to say, this is not a Christian country. It's not. Look at the founding documents. Look for the word Jesus. Any of those documents. Do you find them? You can word search them. No, not there. Not there. Maybe reference to a God, maybe reference to a higher power. Whatever. But it's specifically not stated. And why do you think that is? Because some folks knew, and those guys did back then. You know, a lot of people believe lots of different things. This isn't the point. You want to believe those things? You think heaven awaits? Don't let me stop you. Knock yourself out. Teach that to yourselves. But what I'm concerned about here is how we deal with each other in the reality. I'm not worried about the afterlife any more than I'm worried about my pre-life. What I'm worried about is right now. What I'm worried about is protecting my friends and my family, taking care of us, having the life and liberty and happiness that we are due as American citizens, and I would say as humanity. And this thing that we have is very rare. Usually you got the power and you do what you want. A representative government enforcing and promoting life, liberty, and happiness is something that is very rare in this world. 855-752-4842.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on air.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
And we are here with Matt Randolph, Mr. Global. Donald Trump now will be coming in for a second term. There has been talk of removing sanctions from Russia. What would that mean, Matt, for the oil and gas industry?
So it depends on what Russia does, but we've seen nothing to suggest that they want to have anything to do with lowering oil prices.
And so the prices are essentially going to stay the same?
In all likelihood, yes.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
Zomers, are you a Netflix and chill guy?
Do you know what Netflix and chill means?
I thought it just meant watch something on Netflix together.
You say that's what you're going to do, but you're really having them over there for sex.
This is why nobody wants to come to my place anymore. I say, hey, you want to come over and have Netflix and chill? People keep saying, well, no, I don't think so. I'll take it back. And I just thought they were being rude.
I do have Netflix, though.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Loud the torches and wake up the king. The smoke you've ignored is a flame you can't contain. We circle the walls and claw at the dirt. We growl from our guts and howl until it hurts.
Welcome back to the Dom Stelvey Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, keeping it light for you on a Friday night, man.
Oh, yeah, always.
Texas, going to light them up, teaching some Christian textbooks in school. Well, but, you know, the good news is they're totally prepared for it at 5 and 10 through 10 years old. They totally got a good beat on things. Some of the texters are out there as well, 855-752-4842. John from West Dallas, he says, we live in the United States for our freedoms. This is from a Catholic. Yeah, amen, yeah. Brother. Cam, God exists, and his name? Conan O'Brien. All right, Cam, I like that. Monica from Mount Horeb, it's clear indoctrination. I fought against going to religion classes and did not get confirmed. Other than weddings and funerals, I haven't been to a religious service in 45 years. I can still sing the songs I learned in summer Bible school when I was in grade school. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Man, that's stuff. Talk about something that sticks with you.
Yeah, it cuts deep.
I mean, is that what it is? It cuts deep, or is it just a bunch of baggage? I guess it depends on your perspective. Now, you know, Monica kind of goes along with me, but I get some people get a sense of God. They feel something. Mm-hmm. It's more than social for them. It's more than they sense it. There's something for them, and okay, I've not had that. I don't get that. You want that? That's great, but don't put it on me or my kids. Don't take money out of my pocket, out of the public's pocket to do that. Because here's the thing. If you're going to believe and think that everyone has all the right to any religion, all that, I'm going to start my own religion. Why not? Everyone does. Everybody does. And start, what, not paying my property taxes? I just get so mad about that. I am so... You don't pay property taxes. I'm so mad about every steeple I see. I just think it's like a hand raised in the air saying, we don't pay property taxes. And there's so many. I go over the home bridge in Milwaukee. You just look around. It's a beautiful, beautiful view. And all these churches all saying, I don't pay property taxes.
Neither.
We do. Hey, this is great. And there's some beautiful buildings we got too, man. I mean, can't you tithe a little more? Maybe you should start, you know, maybe get more of the school voucher money to subsidize. Mm-hmm. You know where I'm going with that. Clear indoctrination. Thank you, Monica. I concur. Steve from Madison, religion of freedom of religion and freedom from religion. It should be people's choices, but then look at look the death of religious war, Steve in Madison. Then look the death of in religious look at the death in religious war, right? A lot of religious war, of course. I mean, yeah. it's that resources, religion.
Yeah.
And what else is there?
I don't like your face.
You slept with my wife.
Sorry.
Spent all your money and now you're coming back home. What are you thinking? All right, just a few minutes left here, folks. 855-752-4842. I want to throw the numbers out there because I think I fell into this. My headspace was it's getting better. It's getting cleared up. The farther we get away from this election, as I digest and reconsider our positions.
Recombobulate.
Thank you, Dan. The landslide that wasn't Trump and allies pump up his narrow victory. Ooh, tell me more, New York Times. On the night he won a second term, Trump rejoiced in the moment. Quote, America has given us an unprecedented and powerful mandate, he boasted. In the 2 weeks since, his campaign has repeatedly heralded his landslide, even to market Trump merchandise like official Trump victory glass. But by traditional numeric measures, Trump's victory was neither unprecedented nor a landslide. In fact, he prevailed with one of the smallest margins of victory in the popular vote since the 19th century and generated little of the coattails of a true landslide. Wow. Smallest margin of victory since the 19th century. Smallest, like small hands.
Like smallest. Small hands.
Very small. Let's get to some of the numbers. The New York Times, they fill you up with all sorts of backstory. Here's the deal. With votes still being counted, Trump shows Trump winning the popular vote with a 49.997% as of Thursday night. And he appears likely to fall below that once the final results are in, meaning he will not capture a majority. Another count used by CNN and other outlets showing him winning 49.9%. By either reckoning, his margin over Harris was about 1.6 percent points, the smallest since 1888, and could ultimately end up around 1.5 points. 1.6, 1.5, that is not a mandate by any stretch of the imagination. There have been mandates. Let's see if we can get down here. Here we go. Real landslides have been unmistakable. Lyndon B. Johnson in 64 won by 22.6 points.
Yeah.
Nixon in 72 by 23.2 points. Reagan in 84 by 18.2 points. In the 40 years since that Reagan victory, no president has won the popular vote by double digits. Damn. Let's see a little bit more here. Trump, let me just jump down here. Again, this is at the New York Times. You had the good quote on here, Jess, and now I can't find it. Anyway, the Trump can legitimately claim a mandate from the American people for his effort to make America great again, said Bruce Ackerman, a professor of law. But given his razor-thin majorities in Congress, he will fail to gain the support of Republicans from swing districts who will predictably fear defeat in the midterm election if they enact legislation destroying Obamacare or increasing tariffs in ways that will impose shattering burdens on millions of voters. That's the news. Mm-hmm. The fact he does not have the 22-point mandate, although he thinks he's invincible and thinks he does, there's going to be blowback to that. And some of those GOP members, mega members, if they want to be elected again, they may be thinking twice. Folks, this is the Dom Salve Show. Thank you, Jess, P.S., for all your work this week. Thank you, folks. Stick around. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe coming up next. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week.
From Hobart to Bay Settlement, 97.9 WGBW. Maggie Dawn.
It's Thanksgiving week, and I've got a special guest, Professor Bill Whitford, the named plaintiff in the Supreme Court gerrymandering case out of Wisconsin, joins us. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Civic Media, Wisconsin's source for real news and great conversation, offers podcasts of all of our daily shows online and on demand. Simply go to civicmedia.us, click on Daily Shows, and choose the podcast that you want to download. Shows are updated daily, or you can save them and listen all at once. Our podcasts are sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. You are an organ donor, right? Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Learn more at heroicdeed.com.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation.